Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and coffee and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, May 6th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
You know, while we were listening to the music and stuff, I saw the big headline. I pretty much knew he was going to be elected, but the first Muslim mayor of a Western capital has been elected. London. And I was listening to some of this guy's background, and it truly is incredible. It is amazing. You know, we talk all the time about it being a spiritual warfare, spiritual battle, you know, just not here in the States, but here all around the world.
Oh, it is here.
And I'll tell you what.
Most people just don't get it. That's all.
Well, it's everywhere. It's just not, it's just not here in the States. It's everywhere. Yeah. It's a world, global. And this guy, first Muslim mayor, and I was listening to some of the reports on him as far as, you know, his background, his history, his views, his thoughts on Sharia law and everything. I mean, this guy, he hangs with some of the toughest terrorists, there are people that are viewed as terrorists and so forth. And it's really amazing. It is
astonishing.
It is.
You look at the English people and you sit back and say, what the heck happened to you? And what happened to them is they have trusted leaders in positions of power who have worked steadily to undermine their country until, I don't know, I think the Beatles had the song England Isn't England Anymore, and that was a long time ago, but it's becoming, you know, you're not going to be it isn't going to be an English country at some point in the future, maybe 20 years, I don't know, 10, 20 max, and England will not even be an English country. It will be Muslim. I saw a report from someone that the Swedes, they're already gone. They're gone. And he's complaining that if England doesn't straighten up, suddenly they're gone within 5-10 years. They will cease to be an English country. They will become a Muslim country. This is it's crazy. It's insane. It's one of these things like, my gosh, how can people be so stupid? And I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about us.
You know, Al, we talk about sleeper cells. This is almost the thing is like a sleeper cell. People are asleep. Well, and I mentioned this, a couple of weeks ago? It's not ISIS that you have to be afraid of. Yes, they're there, they're killing and blah, blah, blah. They're the distraction. What you have to be fearful of, what you have to be aware of, is what exactly is happening in London. They're electing their first Muslim mayor. You're going to have these Sharia law Muslim believers coming up into the ranks of our government, quietly, quietly.
Well, they've elected their first Muslim mayor of England. A lot of people think we've elected our first Muslim president here in the United States.
Well, look at Valerie, you know. I mean, they're there. And that was the danger. So the politicians are the sleeping cells. It's not the radical terrorists.
Right.
It's the political movement within the Muslims. That's the sleeper cells. So this is just, and you know, when I was in London a couple of years ago, talking to the people and, you know, the guides and so forth, they, from what I gathered at that point in time, they were all very well aware of the immigration of the Muslims. They didn't like it.
But politicians get away with it.
Yeah, but they're voting for them. Or is it just another?
What needs to be done is you need at least some pots with hot tar and a couple of bags full of feathers for these people.
Or is it just the elections are just so rigged that even
I don't care how they're rigged. I don't care who gets into office. They need to understand that they're going to represent the rank and file people of the country that elected them. And if they're going into office, I don't care if the elections are rigged, unrigged, whatever, here's the deal. You betray the general welfare of we the people, and we're going to introduce you to tar and feathers at a minimum.
But what I don't understand, and then I'm going to get into the precious metals here for the closings. Oh, we know the queen, I mean, she's just a figurehead. I mean, how does that all change? And is this going to promote them from pulling out of
the
Eurozone? Yeah. Yeah. So
well,
which really
no, he's only
us.
The mayor. He's only the mayor of London. Mm. Right? He doesn't have international influence that's
yet
built into that position. He's the mayor of a big city, but he's not sitting in an international position. So he's not, you know, he can talk about it, but he's not going to have any official influence on whether the Brexit takes place or it does not.
All right. Let's go ahead and see what gold, what gold did today. Currently in the New York spots up 1090, 1289.50. Of course, we were approaching the 1300 level. We touched 1296 earlier in the day, all due to the numbers that came out earlier today, and we'll go over them in the second segment of the program today. But everything did reverse themselves. But we still have a nice strong up $10 at $12.89. Silver is up 14 at $17.54. Platinum was up 15 at $1,082. Palladium up 9 at $611. USDX today up 0.10 at $93.85. Crude oil up 0.24 at $44.56. And yes, the paper markets were all higher today. The Dow was up 80 points at 17,740. The NASDAQ was up 20 at 4736. S&P up 6, 2057. 10-year yield still below 180 at 178. Euro 114. Not a lot of change at all. Hong Kong was down a little bit overnight, but a little pressure on the Asian and London markets. But other than that, there weren't any big moves, big changes in the world stock markets overnight. And what's interesting is, you know, there's been a lot of greed. And again, we talk about the fear and greed index. Does it mean anything? That's just interesting to watch. Does it, you know? And it's surprising me, as high as the Dow has been, and we just had a little pressure, not a lot of pressure on the Dow of late, but you're beginning to see that fade from the greed more into the neutral and closer into the fierce part of the graph. So just interesting. And
what interests me is that we're at the moment, we're about 1288, which puts us down about $4 from, I'm looking at the bid price. Rather than the asking price. But in any case, we're down about $4 for the week on the price of gold. After, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, after last week, gold went up by $59. And I am used to, for the past, it's just burned into my system like an abused child. I expect it to happen. When gold has a good day, I expect the system to knock it down the next day. If it has a couple of good days, I expect them to knock it down the next day. If they have a good week, I expect them to knock it down the next week. They haven't done that. Now, we've only got a week to show here, which is not powerful evidence, but still, I would have expected some sort of a reaction from the powers that be after gold had nearly $60 up last week. I would have expected them to knock it down $20, $30, $40 this week, maybe more. Didn't happen. Didn't even come close to happening. And it's a mystery to me. It's one of those things you look at and you say, does that signify something, or is it all going to happen next week, or what's going on here? But the evidence is that the government, the powers that be, have run out of the will or the resources necessary to push the price of gold downward. They're going to maybe let it go.
Well, I think you're trying to find the answer to the mystery of why they manipulate and why they don't, and I don't think that's something that you can, you know, try to determine when they're going to do it and when they're not going to do it. I mean, pretty much usually when they do it, and it's, you could follow it for 20, 30 years, 20 years anyway, when you do have your big global meetings, when you do have your three-day weekends, when you have a big old weekend, you're going to have the stock market higher and gold lower. So I'm not so sure. Sometimes it's actually the hitting of the gold pricing, but they want to keep that stock market higher. Naturally, if you have a higher stock market, you're going to see pressure on gold. So I don't think there is really any rhyme or reason. We know they manipulate it. We know through the paper, through the ETFs, through the shortings. Yes, it's a major commodity that's manipulated because they can't have high gold prices. $1,300 is a very strong resistant level. I think once it breaks the $1,300 and if it can close above there, it's going to get some momentum behind it. It's going to get some attention. It's going to attract attention. But when you do have these bigger guys out there talking about Drunken Miller or whatever his name is, Drunken Miller, yeah, it's going to bring a lot of good of attention to gold and silver. I mean, you can't even turn even CNBC on in the mornings. You can't even turn it on without having, you know, one of those gold dealers, you know, running an ad across. And so any of the financial news, Fox News, any of them, any of the mainstream media, they're all running gold commercials, silver commercials, you know, every 10 minutes. So it really, it's, people are beginning to focus a little bit more on gold because everybody knows this isn't going to continue.
What's the nature of those commercials? Are they primarily selling coins they have, or are they trying to buy coins for, or whatever, gold from people out in the street who have some gold that they might like to sell?
No, they're looking to sell. There's a lot of IRA, precious metals IRA advertisements, and then just some silver. You know, a couple companies are pushing silver and so forth. And they're all high priced, and you know, I talked to tons of people who, well, you know, when I called one of those guys on TV, and they're really rude, just because I didn't want to buy that minute, they pretty much hung up on me. and then he calls me 20 times a day. It's like, yeah, that's how they work. But, and their prices aren't any less expensive or any better or anything else.
But their sales force is a little more aggressive.
Very aggressive.
And perhaps a little less ethical.
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps.
Well, look, if somebody's going to be rude to you on the phone, if you're not buying right that minute, it tells you he's working in an environment where he's being paid to sell.
Yeah, he ain't going to waste his time talking.
He is not.
You.
He can't, because the boss is breathing down his neck. You got to sell something. Don't waste your time chatting with these people. Get out there and sell something. Well, it tells you if they're in that environment. You have to assume that they're willing to fib in order to close a deal. You have to be wary of that any place you go. Right? You have to be wary about it. But when they're telling you, we don't have time to talk to you unless you're willing to buy right now, you can pretty much bet that that is not a highly ethical sales force. They are motivated to produce no matter what, no matter how, just get that sale. So you have it's a signal to be careful.
I did a very nice television commercial for precious metals IRAs. And when I went to air it, this was a couple of years ago, there was another dealer. Just as I was getting ready to push the button, there was another dealer with a very similar name as mine. And so I pulled back because they were selling things at ridiculous prices. And I know what happens when people sell things at ridiculous prices. I started to get the phone calls. Well, you know, are you the one guy that advertises on television? And it's like, no. Well, you know, and I bought some product and I it's been 6, 7, 8 months and I haven't received my product yet and blah, blah, blah. So I distanced myself because I didn't want to be I didn't want any name recognition or association with my precious metals IRA commercial, and it never did get aired. But eventually this other company went out of business, closed down or whatever, probably living in Tahiti right now.
You're right. A lot of places closed down. That's one thing, you know, people complain about a couple of Trump's companies have closed down in bankruptcy, which is true, of course, but at least Trump didn't beat it off to an island in the Pacific. All right, to enjoy his golden years. I mean, a lot of people, not a lot, but some, they file for bankruptcy, they take the money, and they run. Yeah. People want to get the product they promised. Write us a letter down somewhere in Papeete or something like that. Maybe we can help you out.
But one of the reports today that made gold rise early in the morning was the jobs report. Companies scaled back hiring in April, adding just 160,000 new jobs, again showing 2x4 flying in the air. The U.S. economy is not as good as so it was a little bit disappointing. Wall Street was kind of expecting over 200,000. I think there was pressure on the Dow earlier in the day, but they were able to reverse things. Not quite sure what, you know, moved both markets with gold down and markets and the paper markets higher. But this is the smallest since September. And the unemployment rate is still remaining at the 5%, but more people have dropped out of the labor force. And so the so-called participation rate fell for the first time in 7 months. That means people are finding it a little bit harder to get a job if they're continuing to still look. So people really don't care anymore, you know.
Oh, they
people
care,
aren't but... working. But as far as the paper markets and some of the mining was down, construction, retail was down 3.1. But
well, it's just more evidence things are slowing down, you know, and we have a government. How long? They haven't told us there was a recovery that was just around the corner. Haven't heard it for probably 2 years, but that was after listening to it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. All the recovery, it's just around the corner, any moment now. Never really did recovery, although they claim. I don't know what that was, Melody. Did you get a cat instead of a dog?
Oh, I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear anything.
But one thing, you know, with them talking about increasing the rate in June, you know, this with a number like this, there's no way she can raise rates in June. But we know she can't raise rates anyway to any significant degree, so it's kind of mute for... We're heading to break, Al.
Yes, we are. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herb's Emotional Stress Formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs.
I extended the special today, even though gold was up earlier in the day, $17, $18, and it's still up. Now that it came back a little bit, we're still going to offer that $5.95 special for the 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 Silver Eagle. It is really a good price. And the reason I like to offer the fractional pieces and the specials is because gold can move big. I can absorb some of those price movements in the fractional pieces, you know, because you're only looking at a tenth of the price. So it's a little bit easier to absorb that. So therefore, I can extend it if we have any fluctuations to the high side. So I'm still be able to maintain that $6.95 even with the Silver Eagles. So make sure, you know, if you're looking for, because if gold goes higher, if it would breach $1,300 next week, I'll have to adjust the prices a little bit. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I also have some really nice Mint State 62 $20 Saint Gaudens. These are the Saint Gaudens Mint State 62. I have these priced where you're paying just a little higher than $100 over an American gold bullion coin. So only for, you can't beat that price. No. Going from a bullion coin to a Mint State 62 $20 Saint Gaudens. So give us a call, folks. It's a great buy. If you have a lot of liberties and you want to add some saints to your portfolio, now's the time to do it. 1-800-375-4188.
Got an article here from the Los Angeles Times. And the headline is, L.A. sees another sharp rise in homelessness and outdoor tents, which is just another one of the leaves in the breeze. We were just talking about it earlier. You see these clues, you see these bits of evidence that indicate that the economy is not, you know, hasn't made the recovery, still in a recession. despite what government might want you to believe. There may be exceptions. There may be places where it's not, in some places it's not as bad as others. But L.A. is one of the places they're still in a recession. It says homelessness increased in the last year in the city and county of Los Angeles, leaving nearly 47,000 people in the streets and shelters, despite an intensive federal push that slashed the ranks of homeless veterans by nearly a third. Now, we're going to talk about this intensive federal push in a moment, just a couple other items to read, and we're going to talk about the intensive federal push that cut the ranks of homeless veterans by nearly a third. We're talking about cutting the ranks of homeless veterans by 1,300 people. All right? It says nearly two-thirds of the homeless people tallied countywide, or 28,000, were in the city of Los Angeles, representing an 11% jump in January from a year earlier. Homeless population grew by the county's homeless population grew by 5.7%. I don't know if the homeless prefer the big city to the county, or if it's simply more likely that the big city creates more homeless people on a percentage basis than the county does, more rural area. Homelessness has increased steadily since 2013 as local officials struggle to identify funding for billion-dollar plans they approved this year to solve one of the region's most intractable problems. The people in government, the officials, they have a plan. All they need is the money to make it happen. I can remember being in India. I made a trip to India back years ago. What was it, 65, 67? 65, yeah, it was 1965. I was there for a couple of weeks. And one of the things I appreciated is that India has a lot of people who are homeless. And they have a huge population, of course. And part of the reason for both of those phenomena is that India has a very benign climate in at least a lot of places. You can sleep on the street, you know, find yourself a place, in an alley or whatever you want to. You know. Go ahead. It's warm enough. The climate is sufficiently benign where that sort of thing you can do. You're not going to have homeless people sleeping up in Alaska. You may have a few months out of the year when things are fairly comfortable. But you start trying to sleep on the street in January and February and December, and you're not going to make it. The relevant point here is to Los Angeles, is part of the reason you have the homeless in Los Angeles is that you can have homeless. Right? You can afford it. In a sense, people can afford to sleep on the street. I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying I'm sure a lot of people, they're not going to be, I don't think you're going to have the same percentage in Chicago, for example, who go homeless as you would have in L.A. L.A. is a more benign climate. It's more conducive to being homeless. What else? It says the number of homeless women across the county. We're talking Long Beach, Glendale, and Pasadena are counted separately, and that has jumped 55% since 2013. All right? 55% more homeless women today than there were just 2 years ago. At the same area, the most visible form of homelessness, tents, shanty towns, and vehicles with people living in them climbed 20% on top of an 85% jump in 2015. Clearly, city and county are reaping the results of ignoring this crisis for two decades. That's according to Mark Rayovic, president of Venice Stakeholders Association. The number of homeless veterans in L.A. County, which has long had the highest concentration in the nation, and again, I'll bet that's partly because the climate is fairly benign, dropped from 4,362 in 2015 to 3,071 in 2016. That's a drop of about 1,300 people. And this happened, and it says, here's the quote, it says, after an infusion of hundreds of millions of dollars in housing and other aid from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, or Departments of Veterans Affairs and Housing and Urban Development. All right. Now, I'm just reading what the article says. It says the federal government threw in hundreds of millions of dollars. And the net result is they took 1,300 people off the homeless rolls. Now, that's interesting, because if we're talking, they didn't say how many hundreds of millions of dollars, but hundreds means at least 200. It might mean three, it might mean four, it might mean, you know, nine hundreds of millions. But it's at least 200s, if the article is correct here. And if, but suppose we're talking about $200 million to get about 1,300 homeless veterans off the streets. That works out to spending about $150,000 for each veteran taken off the streets. 150 grand? I mean, you ought to be able to find a room for these people and provide them with food and clothing for 25 grand a year, and instead they're spending $150,000, if we can believe the numbers. And again, put this the Los Angeles Times. It doesn't sound like an efficient government program to me, Melody. We can send them to, who knows, Mexico. They can send us their unemployed, and we'll send them our homeless. We can swap out, give the homeless $10,000, $15,000 a year to live along the beach someplace. They'll enjoy it. They'll be better off down there, and it doesn't cost $150,000. Per veteran removed from the ranks of the homeless strikes me as strange.
Well, so many of these programs for the homeless are being eliminated, and they do find themselves on the street. They move them out of these, facilities, and, I've heard some places where, they had decent room and board, and they move them, and, then they end up out on the street, then they end up moving them again, and, San Francisco, I know, is a high-dollar area. They're trying to deal with the problem. But the problem is, it's really sad that we have a country like America that we have homeless, and we have veterans that are homeless. And it's a sad state of affair when our mental illness has gotten to the point where you have these people living on the streets. There's no affordable housing. And it's, if a city doesn't like the view, they'll move them.
Simple solution, Melody.
That's how
just
we
pack them into a bus and for L.A., all you got to do is pack them into a bus and ship them up to San Francisco. Drop them off.
Well,
all right.
But it is a problem. It's just not L.A., it's everywhere.
Problem.
It's a terrible problem.
And it's the sort of thing that we saw during the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm.
People unemployed, they had signs, keep walking. The people are walking from, going from who knows where to wherever they're hoping to get to. And they're walking, and they have signs outside of the city say, don't stop here. We have enough trouble feeding our own. We can't feed you.
And then what's terrible is what we mentioned on the program the other day, is you have all these farm programs to keep farmers from growing food,
yeah.
That are owned by wealthy people. Our land has been destroyed. Our agriculture, we import more than we export. We throw away 40-50% of food that is grown because it doesn't pass the view test. If it's got a little spot or something, we'll just throw it in the compost pile. And these are all signs that shows a decay.
Yep.
Of our society,
it's
of our country.
It's not just a decay, it's mismanagement, it's indifference to the people, the general welfare of the people of the United States. And when I use that term general welfare, it's something you see in the preamble of the Constitution of the United States. Congress is supposed to be working for our general welfare. They're not supposed to be working for special interests. They're supposed to be passing laws that are essentially good for most of us, the vast majority of us, right? But not for special interests. But the Congress, of course, has gone completely different direction, and they are for sale to the highest bidder. They're not working for the general welfare. They are working for special interests. And the result is the general welfare is lost, sacrificed, it's diminished, and we have programs like this where we talk about it.
Because of what they do, it's because there's no more accountability to a higher calling. I mean, you know, and I mean, to do the
are
things.
Are you talking about the tar and feather routines? Is that the
no? I mean,
a
for people to do,
for
we
you
have lost. You know,
that.
We talk about our moral values and so forth. That has all been lost to where, you know, there is no accountability for people in these offices, and you know, they get paid by, you know, bought out by, you know, the special interests and so forth. You know, the it's been lost. It's, you know, and that's the problem, the root of the problem. And again, these are just all symptoms of that root. And that's the way I see it.
Treason, treachery, betrayal. People who should be looking out for the average American don't, because the average American doesn't have any money to give congressmen and senators and presidents. They'll give you lip service every time they're running for election, and they will feel your pain and a bunch of other, but what they will, what they're going to respond to is who gives them money. And the Supreme Court, in its infinite wisdom, has declared that political campaign contributions are a form of free speech and should be essentially, you know, if you want to talk, talk. If you want to spend, spend. You can give all the money you want to congressmen, senators, presidents, and politicians. Free speech. It's insane. What that does is encourage this country to become an oligarchy, right? Ruled by the rich. There should be. We see George Soros, fabulously wealthy individual who has reportedly said he's made it his life's work to destroy the United States of America, right? And he puts his money where his mouth is, and he uses it to destroy this country. And we can have the same thing. We have people coming up that are fabulously wealthy, and some of them haven't been around long enough to really understand what they're doing. I'm sure they think they're extremely intelligent and knowledgeable, and that's true for any of us. You know, we tend to all have that ego going on, but you get people like Mark Zuckerberg. He's got more money than he really needs and maybe more than he can understand. And I'm sure he would say, that's crazy talk. You can't have too much money. I know what I'm doing. I know what's best, but it can't be that way. We can't allow people who have made a fabulous fortune to have disproportionate influence on what's happening in this country. And they're in a position to make changes that are enormous, dramatic. We have to reel this in one way or another, where the super rich, the Supreme Court can't just sit back and say, handing out Federal Reserve notes is a form of free speech and can't be inhibited by law. That can't be, that decision can't be allowed to stand. If it does, how much money does the average person have? If you don't have enough money to bribe a congressman, a senator, or a president, those politicians have no obligation to hear you. I can't hear you unless I hear the crackling of $100 bills as they're being folded. You want to talk to these people? You got to speak in a language they understand, which according to the Supreme Court is currency. It can't be that way. And yet it's one of the things that happens in this country and puts us in, you know. And from my perspective, I look at that and I hear about stories, Supreme Court decisions of similar to the one I just described. You can sit back and say, gee, I don't know what those guys are doing. Or you can sit back and say, I know exactly what they're doing. They are in on it. They are part and parcel of a movement to destroy this nation and create a North American Union and ultimately a new world order. And if this nation has to be destroyed, they think it's worth doing. Something needs to be done. And Trump is the first signal that the American people are ready to do something. They understand what I'm talking about, and we're just looking for a solution to the problem. Let's take a break for our last commercials, and Melody and I will be back shortly. Please stay tuned.
Aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article from Mitch Shedlock. Some of you may recognize his name. He puts out a daily newsletter dealing with economic and political commentary. And the headline for this article is Surgical Robot Outperforms Humans. Also, Airbus Plans Humanoid Assemblers. Let's take the first one. Surgical Robot Outperforms Humans. As much as you've heard about them, the process, the robots are just in their infancy stage. Some see robots as good, others evil, but technology breakthroughs represent increased productivity. In and of itself, technological advances are always good. I don't know about always, but I understand the theory, and I would agree that, yes, we're all in favor of technology. I don't know if we're in favor of a bigger and better H-bomb. Do we need that? Is that an advance? Are we better off with bigger H-bombs? How humans use technology may be good or bad. The technology is good. How they use, how people use, I agree with that. Here's one. So he says, surgical robot outperforms human. U.S. researchers have developed what they say is the world's first surgical robot that can outperform human surgeons when operating autonomously on soft tissue, such as intestines, paving the way for clinical trials. When they say operating autonomously, they mean the robot. Nobody's sitting there running the robot. This isn't a situation where some guy has run a little joystick in the back room or maybe even a couple of states away, and he's just observing the operation through a video, and he's got these hands, these robot-like hands that are conducting the operation. No, the robot is doing this all by itself. The patients they've used so far were pigs, animals favored for surgical research because their internals of their internal similarity to people. And the operation involved intestinal anastomosis, reconnecting a severed bowel, which is a common surgical procedure. For example, when removing a colon tumor. All right. Now, this may be a common procedure, but sewing back the intestine that has been separated on a living creature, even if it's a pig or whatever, we're not talking about operating on dead animals. They're doing this on live animals right now, and they were consistent, according to the report, the machines, the robots were consistently better than the surgeons. All right? Moving in a dynamic living environment. That means the body of the pig was alive. Within a relatively short time, according to one of them, we will be able to do a complete appendectomy. We're going to a situation here, folks, where your doctor, I mean, the guy in the operating room, it may be a robot. And you can tell me whether that's good or bad, or it makes you more, you have more confidence ultimately in the robots than you do in the doctors. But it's a sign of the times. Here's another one talking about Airbus plans humanoid assemblers. Airbus, they manufacture airplanes, plans to develop assembly line robots to work with humans. Airbus is working with French and Japanese researchers to develop humanoid robots able to work alongside of humans on assembly lines and inside aircraft in what would be a step change in the use of industrial robotics. The point is, you've probably seen assembly lines, or they have these mechanical arms. They are robots, technically. They don't look like people, but they have these mechanical arms that are mounted on some sort of a base that's along the assembly line, and they're just welding things and picking things up and assembling it, the rest of it. These are robots. But these people are talking about robots that do not look like machines. They're talking about robots that look like people, and they can work inside the aircraft. We can understand where if the aircraft was coming down an assembly line and there were external robots with arms that were grabbing pieces of metal to fasten down and fused to the exterior of the plane. That makes sense. We could see them putting in the rivets, doing whatever spot welding they have to do. That makes sense. But how do the robots get into the plane? Inside the plane, you have to have people. At least up until now. Airbus is saying we're working on robots that they will, it says they'll be able to work inside the plane. The development of collaborative robots that can work alongside of humans is these new machines will be more flexible and lighter than existing models, able to crouch and bend more like people do. They will also be equipped with a host of sensors to ensure that if they stop, they stop if they touch or bump into a human. What are we going to do about unemployment? I mean, if we can create robots that can perform surgery, understand, or even help build airplanes, I don't know how many jobs are out there right now that can't be done by robots. And what are we going to do with the people who no longer have jobs? It's going to call for a complete revision of how this society functions. The robots cannot be, in the end, I don't think they can be owned by the rich. Because all the profit, if you can get into it, and be, if you're one of the people who can control these robots, make sure, well, that's my robot, so I get all the profit off of that. The robots have to be something like socialized, where everyone gets a cut of whatever the robot is saving and producing. And if we don't do that, people are going to starve to death or die, or we're going to have a shooting revolution. Here's another one. This is also about medicine. And this is from The Telegraph, which is an English publication. And the headline is, Dead could be brought back to life in groundbreaking project. A groundbreaking trial to see if it's possible to regenerate the brains of dead people has won approval from health watchdogs. It makes me laugh because from my perspective, if we can regenerate the brains of dead people, then maybe we could even figure out how to regenerate the brains of live people too. And I think that would be an important step. But they're going to recruit 20 patients who've been declared clinically dead from traumatic brain injury to test whether parts of their central nervous system can be brought back to life. I mean, this is like Mary Shelley's fictional story of Frankenstein. It's on the verge of becoming a reality. And we sit here, and these people are going to take someone who's dead. They're going to try to use some peptides and chemicals and lasers and whatever in order to bring these people back to life? And the bet is that there won't be adverse consequences. And I know that there are people who die on the operating table. They're clinically dead. They come back to life. I get that. The doctors save them and whatever. But this is something else. This is something where they're talking about routinely. People die. I don't know how fast you have to get to them, but routinely you can prevent people from dying, or you can not just prevent them from dying. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, yep, they're dead. There's a goner. And you put them on the operating table, and maybe the robot comes over and brings them back to life. We certainly live in interesting times. This is the sort of thing that you could expect from the Buck Rogers. You see these futuristic Star Trek. We see all these science fiction movies that many of us have grown up watching. But I have never, well, I won't say this. It's not true that never. Never is not true. But generally speaking, the people in these movies are not the least bit frightened or inhibited by their own technology. They just take it for granted that you can do these things. Of course we can bring people back to life. Okay, you're going to bring them back to life. What are they going to do for work? You know, there's a point here where this technology is going to force us to make some extraordinary choices. And they're not choices that any of us want to be forced to make. If you can bring some people back to life, you can also let some people die. If we have a serious unemployment problem, how many people are we going to revive and how many are we going to let go? And who is going to scream and shout when their father, brother, sister, son, daughter is allowed to die, when someone else's son, daughter, father, mother, whatever, is allowed to live, is brought back to life? How are we going to deal with that? Does anyone know? I mean, I look at this kind of technology and I wonder how we can adjust to it. It's like having robots in the operating room. Are we sure that we can adjust to this? And maybe we can.
Well, I don't think the future of robots for the better is they're not being created for the likes of the common people. Okay, they are for the people of wealth, the billionaires. These type of people are always looking for ways to live longer and better, you know, so they could enjoy their wealth. The people that are like us, or your neighbors, or the people down the street you go to church with, we're pretty much going to be broke, you know, to the point where we couldn't afford it anyway. So yeah, those of us will continue to leave regular lives and die when we're supposed to die, unless there's a body part that they want from us. So that's how I view things. I don't believe that if you're poor, you're going to get any type of special treatment. It's mainly being done, probably funded by the wealthy. The research and development is you know, all for and from the wealthy, extremely wealthy.
A dangerous time, strange times. And I think my point on this is we are always and increasingly called on to deal with questions that we are completely incapable of addressing in a reasonable way. You can't look back on some of this stuff and say, well, what would the founding fathers do? What would Jesus do? All right? What would Plato say? What would, you know, until recently, you could go back and you could look for similar circumstances in recorded human history, and you could pull out and say, hey, this is what Aristotle said. And people would sit back and they'd say, well, yeah, you know, Aristotle, yeah, he was a smart guy. Let's try that. That sounds reasonable. I think that could work. We don't have any Aristotle to deal with this. The only thing we know are these robots are going to be making, they're going to be putting people out of work. And even if they're doing a better job, they're going to be putting people out of work. They're going to...
We don't have thinkers anymore, Al.
I don't know. I don't,
we don't have
I
thinkers.
Understand. I
we
understand.
Don't have, we don't have thinkers.
Well, we have a few left.
Well,
I don't know if we've ever had all that many, but we have people that think about things other than
there's fewer and
how much
fewer.
Money you can make. All right? And the problem we have right now is too much money is falling into the hands of corporations and people whose only object in life is to try to get more money, more money, more money, and they don't care how. They play the game, and whoever wins, whoever is, was Forbes from Forbes magazine, he said, whoever dies with the most toys wins. To me, that's the credo of a crazy man. That's all this life is about. See who's got the biggest and fastest and whatever toys. There's more to life than that, but the people who are pursuing more money, more money, more money, I don't think they get that, generally speaking. The people that are most adept at making a fabulous fortune are the ones that are perhaps least adept at understanding some fundamental things about life that go back to the nature of people that has to be respected and honored and somehow taken care of. And it becomes increasingly difficult, difficult, difficult. So what are we going to do about it, Melody? Are you planning to replace me with a robot? Huh? You can tell me.
You got me on that one, Al.
All right.
It's Friday. I think we better leave at this point in time.
Well, but, we can't leave just yet.
Oh, yes, we can.
About a minute left.
No. But no, Al, I'm not going to replace you by a robot yet.
Well, how about an illegal alien?
No. 1-800-375-4188. Come on, folks. Make sure you take advantage of these great specials that I'm providing for you today. You know, the one thing that you can do, no matter what happens to the wealthy, no matter what happens to bringing in the robots, no matter what, whether you know, you can still take care of yourself. You don't have to be a slave to the system. You don't have to be a slave to their world. You can still live, be your own central banker, and be prepared. Take care of your finances. Control it. You can do it. And one way of doing and controlling your finances is through gold and silver. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, folks, we're out of time. Melody and I will be back on Monday. Have a good weekend. In the meantime, we will be back on Monday. Isn't that right, Melody?
Correct.
Okay.
Lord willing.
In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you and me and Melody and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. Money, money, always.